Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Hey, you two, come on over here.
I was using that.
Oh, come on, it's time for our song.
But we've still got a lot of work to do.
Come on, let's go sing.
Ready? Here we go. I'll start.
Okay.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Shh, not yet.
Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Ready?
Jingle bells, jingle bells. Open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Next song.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Okay, my turn.
Sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been back.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 549. I'm Amy Matheny, and happy holidays and happy Thanksgiving. We are going to get you into the sound of the season on today's show. It's very exciting, as you'll hear holiday music from David Edelfelt, his new CD. He will be on our show today as he has a new CD out. He's a fantastic singer and artist, vocal coach and teacher and choir director here in the city of Chicago. And it's his debut album, which I am very honored to have a small part, to be a small part of this project for David. The CD is called Love is Born at Christmas, and he is also going to be performing a holiday concert, which is an amazing way this weekend if you have friends and family in town or you want to do something to kick off your holiday shopping and walking around through the lights and the crisp air. At Davenport's, he will be performing this weekend, the most wonderful time of the year, which I know he feels it is. And for many of us, it feels like the most wonderful time of the year this weekend. So I'm so excited to have David Edelfelt on the show to get us into the holiday swing, the holiday spirit, the sounds of the seasons to permeate in this podcast, as hopefully you are going to be with friends and families, whether that's traveling or whether that's staying here, whether that's hitting sidetrack for show tunes, or your local bars or clubs to feel the festivities of not having work and feeling thankful and grateful for friendships and family during this time of year. Or whether you're doing something small and quiet, it is a time to go and just experience the gratitude of life and of friendship and family of the season. Either the families we of choice or the families of origin of which we were born into. And so I am thrilled. I'm thrilled to be in this time of celebration with all of you. And to kick off this holiday season with David Edelfelt on the show today. So Kirk and I are going to bring you some news, lots going on in the theater scene, and then David Edelfelt is going to be telling us about what Christmas and this holiday season means to him, and we're going to be hearing that as well through song.
The Joffrey Ballet presents America's number one Nutcracker, Chicago's most beloved holiday tradition. The Washington Post hails it a perfect ballet and a theatrical event of irresistible power. The Chicago Tribune called it majestic and intoxicating. For an evening of pure enchantment, including a live orchestral performance of Tchaikovsky's glorious score, See the Joffrey Ballet's The Nutcracker, December 6th through the 28th at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. Tickets start at just $31. Call 800-982-2787 or visit us online, joffrey.org. Special thanks to the Nutcracker presenting sponsor, Gems World Academy, Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
More than 3,000 members of the LGBT community and allies gathered at the UIC, University of Illinois at Chicago, forum on November 20th to watch Governor Pat Quinn sign SB 10 into law, bringing marriage equality to Illinois effective June 1st, 2014. Illinois is now officially the 16th U.S. state to have marriage equality. In a nod to the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, which fell the day before, Governor Quinn signed the historic legislation on one of Abraham Lincoln's desks, which was shipped from Springfield.
Republican U.S. Senator from Illinois Mark Kirk's office reportedly canceled access to a Senate meeting room for an event scheduled by a local conservative organization that is supportive of Russia's gay propaganda ban. LGBT activists were outraged to learn that the Rockford, Illinois-based World Congress of Families, which is currently planning a global summit of supporters of the traditional family to be held in Moscow in 2014, would be holding an event in a meeting room at the Dirksen Senate office building.
600 panels of the 54-ton handmade tapestry known as the AIDS Memorial Quilt, which has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, will be on display at the City College of New York. The panels can be seen December 2nd through 6th. In New York alone, more than 125,000 people are HIV positive.
The convicted killer of Samia C.C. Dove, a Cleveland transgender woman found murdered earlier this year, has been sentenced to life in prison. Andre Bridges, found guilty of Dove's murder, will be eligible for parole in 20 years when he'll be 56 years old. Prosecutors said Dove was stabbed 40 times on January 5th and tied to a concrete block, but was not found until 3 months later.
In a letter that he asked to be included in all church bulletins throughout the Chicago Archdiocese, Cardinal Francis George predicted dire consequences as a result of same-sex marriage coming to Illinois. George also wrote that House Speaker Michael Madigan misused a quote from Pope Francis when speaking in support of the marriage equality legislation.
Openly gay Chicago Alderman James Keppelman has wed his longtime partner, Richard Sale, in a Washington State ceremony by Keppelman's brother. The couple has been together for more than two decades.
A 13-member United Methodist Church jury convicted Reverend Frank Schaefer of Pennsylvania of violating church law by officiating his son's same-sex wedding. Schaefer was convicted on two charges, officiating a gay wedding and showing disobedience to the order and discipline of the United Methodist Church. Schaefer has received a 30-day suspension. If he violates church law within those 30 days, he could lose his ministering credentials. He has said he'd perform another same-sex ceremony if asked.
The family of the late Rutgers University student Tyler Clementi paid their first visit to the George Washington Bridge, where he took his life. The family crossed the bridge to New York City to help raise awareness about the dangers of bullying. Clementi, 18, committed suicide in 2010 after learning his roommate, Darun Ravi, had secretly used a webcam to capture Clementi's rendezvous with another man.
On November 20th, President Obama honored late lesbian astronaut Sally Ride's legacy, along with that of Bayard Rustin, with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. Other honorees included former President Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey, and country music singer Loretta Lynn.
In world news, Luxembourg City Mayor Javier Bettel looks set to become the world's third openly gay or lesbian national leader after ruling monarch Grand Duke Henri picked him to negotiate the next governing coalition. Bettel said he plans to legalize same-sex marriage as soon as next year, and he will be sharing the prime minister's official residence with his partner, Destiné Gauthier.
The Honduran Equality Delegation has traveled to Honduras to meet with LGBT activists in the Central American country to help bring more visibility to the rampant violence against LGBTs there. 15 human rights activists from Chicago, San Francisco, Portland, New York, St. Louis, and Kansas City will be in the country through December 1st to meet LGBT allies and leaders, tour organizations, and observe the country's general elections.
The Vatican has honored an openly gay U.S. teen for his work to develop a cost-effective method to detect pancreatic cancer. Jack Andraca, a high school junior from Maryland, received the International Giuseppe Sciacca Award for his work. The Vatican awards the prize to recognize youth who are positive role models and outstanding in their fields.
In Peru, a billboard campaign in Lima shows some of the country's celebrities posing as if they were in same-sex couples. Lawmakers have been seeking to legalize same-sex civil unions in Peru since 2010. However, the current president opposes them.
After a long confirmation process, Chicagoan James Wally Brewster, an openly gay businessman and fundraiser for President Obama, was confirmed on November 14th as ambassador to the Dominican Republic. Bob Satawake, a managing partner at Jameson Sotheby's International Real Estate and Brewster's life partner, has stated that he and Brewster would be married shortly after the swearing-in ceremony.
In Scotland, supporters of the Marriage and Civil Partnerships Bill rejoiced after members of Parliament passed the measure in a historic development. It was the culmination of a three-hour debate with personal testimony from gay, lesbian, or bisexual MSPs. Health Secretary Alex Neil stressed there was no duty on any religious celebrant to solemnize same-sex marriages. The vote to pass was 98-15.
In entertainment news, singer Joan Jett has been moved to a different float at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade after protests from South Dakotan ranchers who say their rockers are vegetarian and critic of their trade. The float to which Jett has moved has not yet been announced.
At the 5th Annual Governor's Award on November 16th, Angelina Jolie received the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award, while Steve Martin, Angela Lansbury, and costume designer Piero Tosi received career-honoring Oscars. Among those in the audience were Matthew McConaughey, Tom Hanks, George Lucas, Brad Pitt, and Mark Wahlberg.
Dating alert! Openly gay LA Galaxy soccer player Robbie Rogers is reportedly seeing Greg Berlanti, creator of Arrow and producer of Brothers and Sisters, Everwood, and Dawson's Creek. The two of them began dating sometime around May, approximately 3 months after Robbie went public with his sexuality for the first time.
Out gay figure Andy Cohen has launched his own production company, Most Talkative, while striking a multi-year development deal with Bravo. Cohen will be stepping down from his executive role at Bravo. He will focus on Watch What Happens Live hosting duties and will stay close to his Real Housewives by executive producing the franchise and hosting reunions and specials.
Openly gay professional boxer Orlando Cruz married his partner, Jose Manuel Colon, in a ceremony in New York's Central Park. The ceremony was officiated by New York City Council member Melissa Mark Viverito.
Adam Levine has been named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive. Past Sexiest Man honorees include Brad Pitt, John F. Kennedy Jr., Denzel Washington, and Johnny Depp.
And singer Kelly Clarkson, who married husband Brandon Blackstock October 20th, has revealed that the couple is expecting their first child. Blackstock's father is Clarkson's longtime manager, and his stepmother is country legend Reba McEntire, who once toured with Clarkson. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Cheyenne Jackson, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 25th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Three distinguished Chicago actors bring to life Irish playwright Connor McPherson's exploration of the generations of Irishmen in Port Authority, now playing at Writers Theatre. The interlocking stories of three men at different stages of life weave together a tale that is both spirited and moving in its portrait of the most remarkable ordinary lives. For tickets to Port Authority, visit writerstheater.org.
Timeline Theater Company has another formidable production, says the Chicago Tribune, about The Normal Heart, Larry Kramer's landmark drama about the AIDS crisis. The Chicago Sun-Times calls The Normal Heart breathtaking, and Time Out Chicago awards it 5 stars. Don't wait to get tickets to The Normal Heart, now extended through December 29th at Stage 773. Visit timelinetheater.com.
She's back, and better than ever. About Face Theater's queer hit holiday musical, We Three Lizes, is playing now through January 5th at Stage 773. Conrad Ticklebottom's wife has hit a stumbling block when 3 magical figures arrive at his door, a trio of Liza Minnellis, to escort him on a fabulous journey through what was, what could be, and what the heck. It's a sparkly musical spinning a tale of hope, transformation, and the power of Liza. Visit stage773.com to get your tickets to We Three Lizes today. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Now, out of the night, soft as the dawn, into the light, this child, innocent child, soft as a fawn, this child is born, one small heart, one pair.
Has been making music for most of his life. The Chicago Tribune has said he probably sounds great singing the weather forecast. He's just blessed with a luxuriant instrument. And finally, this holiday season, David releases his first full CD, a celebration of Christmas songs old and new. And I'm just thrilled to sit here and talk with David, who, full disclosure, is a very good friend, about his life in music, his vast work with other vocalists, and his new holiday season CD, Love is Born at Christmas. It's just in time to get us in the holiday spirit. And I can't think of a more spirited and joyful person to be sitting with during the holiday. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm super, Amy.
Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you.
It's a beautiful city in which to celebrate the season. And I'm so glad to have your CD this year to sit and share with others and really get me in the mood. Because sometimes I go there. Depends on the year. Sometimes I go there a little less willing, and sometimes I'm ready to sled right on in. Let's go back. Where are you from? I mean, you're not from Chicago, though. You've been here a really long time. Where do you hail from?
I grew up in upstate New York, in Schenectady, to be exact.
And I've always wanted to say I grew up in Schenectady. I can't even say Schenectady.
Schenectady.
Schenectady. See, that's because I'm from a hillbilly from Tennessee.
There you go. I came here in 1985 to do my master's at Northwestern.
Yeah, and you fell in love?
Just fell in love with the city. I planned on going back east, and it never happened because I just started getting involved in the city and professionally, and here I am.
Did people think that you would go back and go to New York? And was the goal at that time to have a career as a vocalist? And
you know, I didn't really know. Throughout most of my life, I was torn because I thought, I really love to sing, but I'm probably not good enough to have a career, so I'll do education. Mm-hmm. And so I did my bachelor's in music education. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, as long as I'm going to do my master's, I'm going to do it in performance. And I'll probably find out I'm not good enough. And, you know, I mean, the truth is that at every juncture, I kept being...
good enough.
Yeah, I kept being encouraged to go on.
It's amazing how that happens, right?
I kept being encouraged to go on and perform.
Yeah.
And so eventually I found out that I was good enough and that I still had a passion for teaching. And that's how I kind of evolved as a coach and teacher.
Yeah. So who were those early musical influences when you were looking at getting
your bachelor's and you were going into high college. I mean, obviously, there's a long journey to head to that moment. So what is the earliest memory of music you have in your life?
The earliest memory of music is listening to my dad play the piano. Well, if we were good, my sister and I, he would play the piano downstairs while we were in our beds upstairs with the door cracked open so we could hear him play.
And what did he play?
He played Strauss waltzes.
Oh, he did.
He was not a great pianist, but...
You had a piano in your house.
Absolutely. And my mother was a singer, had a beautiful soprano voice. So I just grew up surrounded by music. I started studying piano at age 5.
Wow. And was it in the church? Was it more classical music?
Not initially. It was in the church. But by the time I was, about 10 or so, I was substituting as the organist at church when the old man was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Wow. And so did you fall into that line of us gay men, I'm including myself in that tribe, of, falling in love with musical theater or falling in love with standards? Was that kind of your foray?
I don't know where I got it, but I remember, some of the first recordings I bought, the LPs, the vinyl, back in
they don't even
a
know what they are,
century
these
ago.
Listeners.
I know. I love it. Oh, I'm
a
so
45.
Old.
Look it up.
I would get Judy Garland albums. How did I know who Judy Garland was? My mother never... it must have been genetic.
Because as homosexuals, we have that gene.
There you go.
We have the Judy gene and the Barbara gene.
It's like radar.
Yes. Oh, how interesting. So who became those early inspirations for you? I mean, who were the vocalists or songwriters that you have inspired you throughout your life?
That's a really hard question because I don't consider myself, never really considered myself a fan of popular music.
Right.
Funny as that sounds.
Yeah.
Initially, when I started studying voice at age 15, the people that I would most listen to were opera singers.
Okay.
Eventually, I became fascinated with jazz, and I don't know that there was any one particular singer. It was probably mostly... female singer, Sarah Vaughan.
Sure.
I love Mel Torme. And,
yes.
And the oldies. I love Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett. And
yeah.
Even, some of the lesser superstar vocalists that I think are some of the best singers we've had, like Perry Como and Andy Williams.
Yeah.
And certainly they, I loved and still do love their Christmas albums.
I was going to say, the other person, when I think of childhood memories, and it's a perfect tie-in with your CD is... I think of being at my grandmother's house and lifting the big walnut lid on the record player and putting in, I think it was just called Christmas with Mitch Miller.
Oh, I loved those.
It was like my favorite album ever. It was like that and Mary Poppins from the age of 10. Well, so just before we head into Christmas, because it's coming, it's barreling down the path, you said you discovered in your educational exploration of getting your BA and then your master's that you were getting success as a performer and also really having a calling to teach and feeling like you were a good teacher. So did you just instantly begin teaching, being a voice coach or voice teacher because it was a great way to pay the bills and you were good at it? Or how did you start working with vocalists?
I really felt that it was what I did well.
Mm.
And I started informally teaching friends, really, when I was even in high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished my master's, I just knew I had a lot to offer in that area. And so what I did was I asked colleagues of mine, people who graduated Northwestern with me and some other folks that I was singing around town with, to come and study with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would charge $5.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want some experience doing this. I want to get started doing it. I don't want to do it for free, but I don't want to ask you to, spend a lot of money to do it. And then tell me after, several lessons what your experience is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started doing that. And they were like, you're really good. And you're really versatile. And you know a lot about opera and music theater and popular, pop music,
yes,
but classics.
American,
yes, the standards.
American songbook.
Right.
Type of.
And so I started advertising and started building a studio. And
how long ago? How many years have you been teaching?
Oh, Lord. 27, 28 years? Yeah.
So coming up on 3 decades of teaching.
I started when I was 8.
Of course you did. You look fabulous. So the vocalists keep you young. So I think, is there, maybe there's a misconception, that would be the word, that the people who study from you are only people who are working in the theater in Chicago or you know, professional singers. I mean, can anybody study voice? Can anybody find their voice? What's your thinking on that? And what is the diverse range of people?
My students range from their early 20s to 89 years old. My 89-year-old student, who is just a hoot, she made her cabaret debut at age 86.
Woohoo!
And she's doing a show this coming June to celebrate her 90th birthday. So
fantastic.
I love it. But I have students who certainly are making their living singing, and you could go, you know, online and buy multiple albums of theirs. And I have students who do it just for fun and never have ever sung in public.
Yeah.
Most of them are doing somewhere in the middle. They're, you know, they're music theater performers that are also actors, or they sing in their church choir and they have day jobs, or they sing in cabarets around town. But it's not supporting them. So
it's a powerful thing, though, to find your breath and find your voice in a person, even if you're not going to publicly perform.
I always say that studying singing is one of the best things you can do for yourself. It's kind of like going to the gym. It just gets you in shape.
Mm-hmm.
And especially singing and learning how to really breathe and really show up physically allows us to, number one, focus on ourselves. You know, if you do nothing else all week, but you spend 1 hour just focusing on breathing and being present and giving yourself that gift of the time, it's a huge gift. And it gets us opened to our emotions as well, which is, I think, one of the most important things for people, let alone for singers.
Mm-hmm. What's your philosophy around singing and music? Is that too broad? I mean, I know that you incorporate a lot of self and authenticity and spirituality.
I think if I had to really break it down to the bottom line, it would be a quote that I've said so many times that a student gave me my own words in calligraphy framed, actually for Christmas a number of years ago. And it's simply this: do less, be more.
Mm. And I get that from you.
At every point in life, I think, and certainly in singing, the deal is, I think we always make ourselves better by saying, what can I subtract from what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. And how can I be more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a great life philosophy. I know it's the hardest thing, right, to keep it simple.
It certainly can be.
It's the hardest thing to keep it simple. So in terms of working with vocalists, and you also work with a lot of choirs and have done a lot of choral work, what are the gifts that come from working with in the world of chorale?
I mean, since I was a kid, I have also felt a call to music ministry. And so for me, it's interesting that you talk about the two separately. For me, I have identified that when I view my teaching as a way to get in touch with and hopefully in some way demonstrate my spiritual self, and when I take my knowledge and skill musically to my quote-unquote ministry at my church job, they're both better. So I don't know that they're separate. The biggest difference, of course, is working with 60 voices at once as opposed to working individually, one-on-one. But I try to make as little difference between what I do there and here as possible.
And as a gay man, is that, you know, I mean, we often hear that, I mean, I don't know, you know, gay men would be leading the choirs or would be choir directors or would be, you know, in the church and beloved in the church for this function that they have in the ministry. And I don't know if I've ever gotten to ask you or anybody else about that, because, you know, for me, it's always been really interesting to be openly gay and have a faith home or find that throughout my many decades. And that's changed. It's definitely evolved.
There's a whole another conversation about that. I will tell you that probably close to 20 years ago, I started a book which is about 75 or 80% written. It's pretty much my autobiography. And the title, the working title, I shouldn't say this on the podcast, but here it is. If you want to steal the title, it's all yours.
Hey, we're copyright.
It's the two words, one spelled H-O-L-Y and one spelled W-H-O-L-L-Y, Holy Gay / Holy Gay. Mm-hmm. And it's about my journey to find the truth of being a gay man in the spiritual world,
yep,
and being a spiritual person in quote-unquote gay world.
Yeah. You and I, we'll do a whole other podcast on that. Yeah. Write the book.
Yeah.
I want to talk there about that one for sure, for sure. But I'm so excited to talk about this CD. Why a Christmas CD? Besides the fact that you mentioned Andy Williams and Mel Torme and lit up when I mentioned Mitch Miller.
Well, it's
but
funny.
Why a Christmas CD? If you're going to do your first CD, why Christmas?
I tell the story in the notes in the album, and you know, I recorded five Christmas songs in 1987 at a karaoke shop.
I was reading those liner notes. Yeah. I've been to, what was it called? Soundtracks?
Soundtracks,
I still have mine. I did a Jack Wagner song.
You
don't know who Jack Wagner is. Do you remember him from the General Hospital?
Oh, yeah.
I did a Jack Wagner song.
I wouldn't know what a Jack Wagner song
is. I wasn't as highbrow as you.
I just thought it would be fun always to make a Christmas album, and I never did. I mean, there was a lot of years where I sort of unofficially retired from singing, and I wasn't doing that much singing, and as a result, I wasn't singing as well, and I went back and started studying a few years ago. And, you know, the catalyst for the album really was last Christmas, which was the first anniversary of my dad's death.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so hard. It was just a hard time, and anybody who's ever lost a parent or anyone close to them knows what it's like, number one, to feel grief, and number two, to walk through the first anniversary of that.
And you lost your father right around the holiday,
too. He went in for emergency surgery on Christmas Eve.
Right, and he was here.
And he was here. My folks came to visit, to Chicago from Florida. And, so just walking through that, you know, what was my experience was that it was the familiar songs of Christmas that most made me cry and most made me heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt instantly, I just knew I have to make a Christmas album. Because what I have known my whole life is that the gifts that I'm given, it's my responsibility to share them. And I don't mean, in this case, necessarily music or even singing. I mean healing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you, because I don't know about you, I've heard from countless people forever that Christmas is either their favorite time of year or it is their most difficult time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And we struggle, all of us, I think, at some point, struggle with the holidays and the expectations and the loneliness and the parties and the, it's so hard. And it was the music, it was the familiar songs of my childhood and my upbringing that really made it okay.
How do you pick songs for a Christmas album when there are so many good ones? And I mean, where did you start? Did you have a few that you knew were going to be on here?
Absolutely. And absolutely. It's the songs that most make me cry.
Cry. This cry. Is Christmas cry album. Although I did listen to it last night. I got misty and I laughed. And,
well, that's my favorite thing to do with singing is make people laugh and make people cry.
Yeah.
Because I think we need to, I mean, I'm on the planet. I know this for a fact. I'm on the planet to make people feel.
Yes.
So hopefully that's what the Christmas album does. But I started a list and I just, you know, I knew there were a couple. The title for the album, which is Love is Born at Christmas, came to me immediately from track 3 on the album, which is a pairing of two songs, one of which is Some Children See Him, and the last line is Love, 'tis love that's born tonight. And I thought, that's what Christmas is to me.
That's your mashup. That's what the Glee kids that's call
the,
it.
Well, the real mashup is the childhood medley. But, I just started making a list, and there were certainly some things that came onto the list that I thought, afterward, you know, no, that's not, I mean, if I was making 20 tracks, they would be there, but they weren't in the top 13.
Yeah. And I'm sure that once you select some of the music, there are people that you, after, like you said, 25 plus years in Chicago and making music and performing, and whether it's with performing with a choir or performing individually that you wanted to work with, musicians.
And you?
Well, I wasn't fishing for that. I was more fishing for your beautiful harpist and beautiful players. I mean, piano player and guitar. I mean, what I love about the CD is that like every song is so evocative of a whole other coming together. Mm. Like each song sounds like you... It's cohesive, but it sounds like I brought these three people in and that is that part of my life. And I brought these people in and this was this part of my life. I just mean like sometimes you'll get a CD and like every song's kind of the same. Mm-hmm. It sounds kind of the same.
Not this.
This is not that. You have some amazing instrumentalists. And
well, the fact that all of the songs on the CD share one thing, and that is that they move me. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I hope they move everybody else. Mm-hmm. But you could certainly divide up the CD in two and talk about the sacred songs and the secular songs.
Okay.
You could divide up the songs as to mood. There are some that are, fun and bouncy and cool. Mm-hmm. And there are others that are haunting and heartfelt and emotional.
I love Mary, Did You Know? Mm. It's such a beautiful song. I don't hear many people record that.
It's my favorite song on the CD.
It's and really, really beautiful.
I fell in love
beautiful.
With the song. I first heard that song about 15 years ago. I don't know, maybe 17. I don't know when it was written exactly, but it's about 20 years old, I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Maybe 25. Anyway, it's... If somebody has to ask me which song on the album most says what Christmas is about for you, it's either that one or the Some Children See Him.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I also, and I mean, this is probably the highest compliment I can give you, but I do believe your version of the Christmas song rivals any of the greats.
Thank you.
I really was like, I'm just going to put that on... What do you call it on? See, this is when technology gets me, guys. Just because I have a podcast, do not think I'm hip. When a song just repeats. I could just have that going on and on because it's one of my favorite Christmas songs. But I kind of love a male voice singing that. Mm. So your baritone, your really rich sound singing that. I mean, to me, it like rivals.
Thank you.
Nat King Cole and any of the greats, Andy Williams and others. You also talk about the secular songs and you mentioned me, so I was going to mention this even if you didn't mention me, but you chose to do an Ann Hampton Callaway original song, and I know she's a pal of yours and a fan of the community. People who don't know Ann Hampton Callaway, you should. Singer, songwriter, arranger,
improviser. Most known for writing the theme song to Fran Drescher's sitcom years ago called The Nanny.
Exactly.
Right?
But you have her song on here, God Bless My Family. It must be special to call your friend and say, I'd love to record your song on my first CD. What did she say?
Anne is one of the most gracious, open-hearted, large-spirited people I know. Mm-hmm. And she just said, I'm thrilled. And I mailed her a CD last week. I know she's traveling a lot, so I haven't heard from her quite yet.
Yeah.
But I love her music.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about choosing songs for this CD. That was one that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be there, and now it's when I cry. Because the CD is... You know, it's for me specifically, regardless of all the other things about it, it's just about healing from the memories and being able to celebrate the holiday in a beautiful way, along with the grief that is very real in missing a loved one who is no longer with us. And I've never heard, ever, a song that says that as beautifully as Anne's song says that. And the fact that you... sang that with me and Tom Michael.
Amazing Tom Michael.
He's been a student of mine for over 20 years, and we've become close, obviously, for, you know, work with somebody for over 20 years.
Yes.
Without becoming close.
You are brothers.
Well, you're both like family to me.
Yeah.
And so it was just, there isn't a more perfect pairing of lyrics and relationship for me than that song and the three of us.
Well, and you know what's really interesting is that I think as GLBT people that, we have these families of origin and we have these families of choice. We have these families that, include, Christmas traditions with our gay and lesbian Jewish brothers and sisters, and you know, the movie that's going to come out on Christmas Day, whether it's Dreamgirls or Chicago, or they always seem to give the gay and lesbians, now Hollywood has figured out to give us a bone and give us a great Christmas movie, because sometimes we're not with our family, and sometimes that is because our family has passed, and sometimes that's because it's a conflicting place with a partner, or being openly gay. And I love how, as a community, I do think what we do really well is we zhuzh up in a holiday really well. We decorate well. We celebrate well. Yeah. We sing well.
I think
there's
it's
a
so
lot
cool.
of joy, you know, to like pull in your family of choice.
Yeah. I didn't think about this until you just said that, but I think it's so cool that, I mean, hopefully if this album, you know, starts to catch on beyond our little community here, that, you know, potentially hundreds, who knows, thousands of people across the country could be hearing a song about God bless my family, written by a gay woman, sung by a gay woman and two gay men. Mm-hmm. How cool is that?
That would be really cool.
How cool is that?
That would be really cool. That would rival some Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke as being controversially cool. People, if they're in the Chicagoland area, or look, this time of year is the perfect time of year to plan a little trip to Chicago, because A, our city is the most beautiful at Christmas time, all up and down Michigan Avenue, and the neighborhoods and the weather and the lake. But you are going to have an opportunity for people to hear you sing live.
Yes.
We're going to talk about how people can get the CD, but people can see you and hear you sing live at Davenport's Piano Bar and Cabaret. That's in Chicago on Milwaukee, 1383 North Milwaukee Avenue. You're going to be doing kind of the weekend of Thanksgiving, which is this weekend, November 29th, 30th, and December 1st. A number of shows there. What can we expect? I mean, I know you've got a fantastic accompanist with you, and you're going to do pretty much the whole album?
No. It's kind of half and half, and I'm so glad you mentioned it, because we have to say out loud the incredible Becky Menzie, who is my pianist, and she has played for all of my one-man cabaret shows that I've done over the years.
And she makes some cameos on the... She makes some vocal cameo, doesn't she?
No, she doesn't. That's me.
Oh, that's all you?
You thought that was her?
I thought she was doing one of the childhood voices.
No, ma'am. Those are both me.
She has a childhood medley with little voices. It reminded me of kind of like the Alvin and the Chipmunks meets like...
In the liner notes, it says that the guest vocalists are the
Edel Elves. That's right. So, okay. I thought that one of the Edel Elves might have been Mecki Menzie,
no,
too.
Ma'am.
I knew one of them was at least you, but that's impressive.
So, yes. So Becky is playing, and Brett Zweer is my percussionist. He'll be there with his drum set and some sleigh bells and some things. But the show, unlike the album is Christmas. The show is holiday. So there are probably 8 or 9 things from the album at the show.
Uh-huh.
And then there's some other things that are, there's some Hanukkah songs and just some other winter things. There are a couple surprises. I don't want to spoil some of the surprises,
don't spoil.
There will be some really very fun things.
Yes. Fantastic. Well, and we will have that linked in our show notes, the Davenport's Piano Bar.com website, where you can get tickets and their phone number as well. So how do people get this beautiful CD, Love is Born at Christmas? What's the best way?
There are a couple different ways. If you know me, see me, I've got them. I'll carry them with me in my car everywhere I go. But you can get them at my website, which is davidedelfelt.com. You can get them at cdbaby.com. It's downloadable on iTunes.
Great.
It's also downloadable at cdbaby. And it's appearing on amazon.com, although the first time it appeared, the price was all screwed up. And so I don't know what's happening with Amazon. But
check on Amazon, too, if you have an Amazon account.
My website or CD Baby is probably the best place.
Great. We'll link your website so traffic will go there. And also, David has a great website that can keep you up to date on other performances and appearances he will be making, as well as his teaching work, and if you want to know a little bit more about his story and his philosophy, because this is just a little slice of all that is David, of course. We just get to capture a little bit and tease you all with it. Well, it is a beautiful, beautiful CD. David Edelfelt's Holiday Concert, the most wonderful time of the year. with Becky Minzy on the piano. And I guess she won't be, maybe she'll provide a voice that night. We don't know. We'll see. That's a surprise. It's going to be at Davenport's, 1383 North Milwaukee Avenue, November 29th, 30th, and December 1st. Great thing to take the whole family to if you've got your folks in town. Or
definitely kid friendly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it says, you know, it's Davenport's, that they have a 2-drink minimum policy, yeah. But it also, that obviously could mean water or
soda.
Coke. So
yeah, coffee.
Don't be shy, right?
And if you'd like tickets, you can call 773-278-1830. That's 773-278-1830. Or in this day and age, just go to davenportspianobar.com and get the information and times. And if you'd like to get David's CD, which, let me tell you, it's a great holiday gift and great to have in your home during the holidays, visit his website, davidedelfelt.com. That will be in our show notes, and that will also tell you about upcoming performances. David, we're going to do that other conversation, so now you got to get going on that book.
Okay.
But thank you for giving me the CD and then thus the book combo, so next year I can give both.
Okay. You got it.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you, and to you, Amy, as well. Thank you for having me.
It's Christmas time. Outside the snow is falling like a million stars, like a million dreams all dressed up in white. I'm writing Christmas cards, a joy that's tinged with sadness as I think of friends. Some are here and some are gone, but our love goes on and on like the snow tonight. And oh, what a family my life has given me. From the corners of the earth of the sky, we touch eternally. And though my heart aches every day, this Christmas I will find a way to let each face I've ever loved shine out in me. God bless my family.
As years go by, the carols we sang as children gather memories. What was just a song now feels like a prayer, welcoming us home to Father. Mothers,
sisters,
brothers everywhere.
Some we've lost and some we've found, as love circles us around in the songs we share. And oh, what a family my life has given. From the corners of the earth to the reaches of the sky, we touch eternally.
And though my heart aches every day, this Christmas I will find a way to let each face I've ever loved shine out in me. God bless my family.
So fly, angels of my heart,
we'll never be apart.
Tonight I say a prayer for loved ones everywhere. You're a part of mine. Me.
from the corners of the earth to the reaches of the sky, we touch eternally. Christmas, I will find a way to let each face I've ever loved shine out in me. God bless my family. You'll always live in me. God bless my family.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everyone, I hope you get out to see David's concert, the most wonderful time of the year at Davenport's this weekend. Pick up the CD, put in holiday music, drive in your car, walk to the bus and the train, put a smile and a pep in your step. Go out and be a part of the gratitude, the magic, the wonder of this beautiful holiday season time, especially in Chicago. It's so beautiful here. And hopefully you get to share that holiday time. And if it's a difficult time of year, as I know it is for many of us, you know, look into ways in which you can just be in the middle and be a part of, not isolate during this holiday season. Be around people that make you feel the best about you and the potential for your life and give you hope and give you happiness and give you joy. Do something fun for yourself. Do something good for yourself and help help contribute to the season and the spirit of the season by just showing up and being in the middle of the wonder and the magic of it all. I'm so thrilled to be with all of you. On next week's show, Deborah, man, she always makes me feel the spirit in the holiday season. And I'm so psyched to have a couple of shows here in a row all about music because we sure do love promoting artists and unique LGBTQA music on the Queercast every week. Deborah, a great fan of the show. A big friend of the community since she's been such an out presence on The Voice, on NBC's The Voice. And so she is going to be on with her new single and talking to us about her new activism and her life story. So Deborah on next week's show. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. So grateful for all of you and so grateful that you listen every week. Bye-bye.
I'm tired of making toys.
Come on, guys.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
We'll go down in history.